And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to discuss the Pope, Jesuits, and Catholic bishops affirm sodomites. Now with the Jesuits, of course, we've known about the Jesuits pushing the LGBT movement for decades now, since at least the 1970s. We have talked about John McNeil, the Jesuit priest who wrote the book The Church and the Homosexual. If you want to understand the history of the Jesuits behind the LGBT movement, and really, I believe, infiltrating the churches with it, and schools, colleges, universities, etc., you have to trace it to the Jesuits. And when you trace it to them, and especially if you seek out John McNeil, and you understand his role in all of this, then it all becomes, I mean, John McNeil is celebrated as this John the Baptist type character who had the vision when nobody else had the vision, they said. God supposedly, God wants to embrace homosexuals as they are. In other words, to embrace this behavior. But of course, they use very tricky, deceptive language. They use their methods of sophistry and casuistry, where they say, well, we're approving it, but we're not approving it. It's this back and forth, which is very, very Jesuitical. All right, so here's a headline. This is from Breitbart News. It says, New York Cardinal, Pope's affirming comments to gay man were, quote, conservative, traditional Catholic. New York Cardinal. Of course, they're talking about Cardinal Dolan in New York, the Archbishop of New York, the most powerful office in the United States for the Catholic Church. For those of you who don't know that, bear that in mind. You can get the book, The American Pope, about the former Archbishop of New York, Francis Cardinal Spellman. And he was called, I mean, he was very involved in government and so on and politically during the Vietnam War era. In fact, the Vietnam War was called Spellman's War because people believed it was the war that Cardinal Spellman in New York wanted. In fact, many people, through their research, point to the Archbishop of New York and the Catholic Church and the Vatican as being the chief cause of the Vietnam War. There's the book Vietnam, Why Did We Go? By Avro Manhattan. That's something else for those who want to dig into that. We've done shows on these things and talked about it in the past. But let's go back to the story. So the Breitbart article says, quote, New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan has defended reported comments by Pope Francis to a gay Chilean man that, quote, being gay doesn't matter, saying they represent, quote, conservative Catholic teaching. In a reconstruction of his conversation with the Pope, Juan Carlos Cruz, an alleged victim of clerical sex abuse, said that Francis told him, quote, Juan Carlos, you being gay doesn't matter, during their meeting in April. So this is a meeting that apparently Pope Francis had with a man who claims he was sexually abused by a Roman Catholic priest. So the Pope supposedly said, quote, God made you like this and loves you like this, and it doesn't matter to me. The Pope loves you like this. You have to be happy with who you are, he reportedly said. Cruz is one of three victims of Father Fernando Caradima, who were in Rome in late April for 3 days of meetings with Francis. His comments came in an interview published on Saturday with his Spanish daily El Pais. P-A-I-S. All right. Then, commenting on all of this, Cardinal Dolan weighed in because the Pope's comments have been a source of controversy. Is he affirming homosexuality? Well, certainly it appears that way. In the past, he's made his comments about, quote, who am I to judge when talking about homosexuality? Of course, he doesn't let people know that, well, wait a minute, it's not your judgment. It's the judgment of the Word of God. Remember, brethren, this whole idea of being judgmental, the way to understand that is to remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, if any man hears my words and does not believe, I will not judge him, but he has one who will, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him on the last day. Ultimately, men are judged according to the Word of God. That is ultimately how all of us are judged. And that specifically, that is John chapter 12, verse 48, where Jesus said, I'll give you the exact wording here, King James, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Okay? And prior to that, Jesus says in verse 47, he says, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Notice Jesus is saying, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Now think about that. He's giving us the key for how we avoid being judgmental. He says, I judge him not. Then he says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And this really parallels what happens in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy when the law is given. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And you get to verse. So here is Moses testifying. He's talking to the children of Israel. And he says, I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. This is in verse 9. Then he goes on. And he says, I took the chief of your tribes, wise men, and made them heads over you, etc. That's verse 15. And he said this. He said, verse 16. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. For the judgment is God's. Okay? So what Moses is telling them, what he's reminding them of, is you don't, when if you're a judge and a murderer, somebody who's committed an act of murder is standing there and they're condemned in the court and the judge says, okay, you're condemned by law and you are to be put to death. You don't fear the face of any man where that's concerned. Why? Because that judgment, the death penalty for murder, that is God's judgment. The judgment is God's. When we speak in condemnation of murder and other sins that are condemned by God's law, that's not our judgment. That's not the church being judgmental. That's not a person being judgmental. That is what the Word of God says. And of course, we're called to examine ourselves. And, you know, when Paul says that the farmer must be the first partaker of his own fruit, what he's basically saying is that we have to practice what we preach. We can't tell others that something is wrong and then be practicing that and be guilty of that in our own lives. It's one thing if you were once guilty of something, you did something wrong, and then you turn around and you repent of it, you shun that. I mean, we have people like this in the churches all the time. People who were, let's say, involved in drugs and other things, people who had criminal backgrounds, they went to jail and that kind of thing. Then they get out and they become a minister. and they get their lives turned around by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they have a powerful testimony to reach out and to help others. But of course, when Paul is talking to members of the church and he says, if any of you are overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of humility, looking to yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Okay, so that's what we're called to. But the idea of condemning, for example, homosexuality, as though somehow or other we are being judgmental to condemn this behavior. The judgment is not from any man. It's not for man to create that judgment, and it's not for man to deny it either. That judgment comes from God. And we have to consider what the Lord says to his watchman in Ezekiel chapters 3 and then again in 33. God says, if I say to the wicked, he shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn him, he will die in his sin, but his blood shall I require at thy hand. So the church and church leaders, anybody who's claiming to be a follower of Christ, cannot communicate to the homosexual world that somehow or other this behavior is acceptable in the sight of God. Revelation 14 and verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, however imperfectly we may keep them, this doesn't mean that we don't stumble. This doesn't mean that we don't have struggles. So don't allow anybody to back you into that trap and tell you that. It doesn't mean that you don't have struggles. You do have struggles. Romans 7 makes it very clear that you continue to have struggles as a believer. But there's a difference between struggling with sin and agreeing with it. There's a difference between struggling against it, fighting to overcome it, and giving into it, and then accepting it, and then teaching that this sin is not sinful. That's the problem, brethren. And that's the problem with the entire homosexual argument. The entire LGBT argument is nothing but open rebellion against God. And unfortunately, the leaders in the Catholic Church are, and certainly not the Catholic Church alone, there's no question about that. We know there are plenty of evangelicals out there who are every bit as guilty, and they are promoting and supporting and trying to affirm the gay community and telling them that this behavior is okay, et cetera, et cetera. And what's happened is the progressive ideology has crept into the church, where they start in with, well, let's not be harsh. Let's be kind and compassionate to these people, even though we don't agree with their behavior. That's step one. Then step two is to take it a step further and say, well, we'll have them in the churches, even though we don't agree with their behavior. We'll have those who have those emotions and this kind of thing. We don't accept the behavior, but we recognize that there are people who have those feelings, and we'll accept their feelings that this is just how God made them, but we will not approve the behavior. That's like phase two. Then phase three is, now you're called to go beyond accepting their feelings. Now you have to accept their feelings plus their behavior, or else you're a horrible bigot, of course. And this is how it has progressed. And when we come back, we are going to listen to the testimony of a Jesuit priest who has been very much a part of this whole movement. When we come back, let's go to our break. We'll talk more right after this.
Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, The untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
In April 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are talking about comments, new comments made by Pope Francis toward a person who is apparently a homosexual who was molested by a Catholic priest at some point. And of course, we have to wonder if that molestation had something to do with his current condition. That often seems to be the case. Often children who are molested end up having a struggle when they grow up and later in life. This is not uncommon. I've heard these stories for years. So back to the comments now by Cardinal Dolan in this Breitbart article. He does say to keep in mind that the information about what Pope Francis said was said in a private meeting with Mr. Cruz and with the Pope. So the article points out, quote, "It is also possible that Mr. Cruz walked away with that message, but that the Pope's words were somewhat different," he suggested. Cardinal Dolan suggested. Quote, "In his own reconstruction of the meeting, Cardinal Dolan said the conversation probably went something like this: well, God loves you and so do I. What he says is beautiful," Dolan said. "Jesus could have said that. That sort of conservative, traditional, Catholic, Orthodox teaching. The Catechism insists on that," he added. He goes on, he says, quote, yes, "while any sexual expression outside of a man and a woman in marriage is contrary to God's purpose, so is not treating anyone, including a gay person, with anything less than dignity and respect," he stated. Now, of course, treating someone, this whole idea of dignity and respect, if you study this, going back to Pope John Paul II, go and watch the video of Pope John Paul II's speech that he gave over the grave of Mahatma Gandhi, where he talks about the dignity of every human being and this kind of thing. And this whole idea of dignity that, and they apply it now to pagan religions and they apply it now to homosexuals. And if you listen to them long enough, what they mean is this, that if you tell pagans that they're worshiping idols and that behind their idols are demonic powers and principalities, you're worshiping demons. You're not worshiping the true God. And these demons are inspiring you towards savage and barbaric behavior, where you're practicing human sacrifice rituals, you're practicing slavery. In India and other parts of the world, they keep sex slaves in their temples. Often these slaves are children, etc. And what you're doing is reprehensible, it's abominable, it's evil, and it's wrong. Well, if you tell people that, and you tell them that if they continue pursuing that kind of behavior, that one day they're going to die and go to hell, if you tell them that, well, you're not really respecting their, you're not extending dignity and respect to them. That's pretty disrespectful to condemn their belief and their way of life. And so you're just not respecting them. You're not treating them with the dignity that you want to be treated with as a Christian, right? As though Christianity is supposed to go around somehow or other honoring the dignity of pagan gods and goddesses and pagan practices. You know, I was just listening to a presentation given by Dr. Peter Hammond, a recent presentation where he's talking about the New World Order, and he talked about the condition of the world in the early part of the 20th century, prior to the First and Second World War. And he said that the Protestant churches at that time were looking forward to the complete evangelization of the planet. They were literally mapping out those parts of the world that had not yet received the gospel and coming up with a plan to go into those parts to complete the Great Commission. And they were celebrating the fact that Bible-believing, largely Protestant Christians had labored for so many years to abolish slavery in most of the world. Many parts of the world that had once practiced slavery had given up slavery. Now, after World War I, World War II, and the ecumenical movement of the 1960s and Vatican Council II and so on, where all of the pagan religions now have to be treated with respect and dignity and all this other kind of stuff, now you have more slavery in the world. According to Dr. Hammond, there are more slaves in the world. Slavery is practiced more abundantly today in different parts of the world than it was before William Wilberforce began his 30-year journey of abolishing slavery in the British Empire. And the reason, I think, is very clear. It's the celebration of paganism, and people have forgotten that all of these pagan religions have practiced slavery for thousands of years. The only reason slavery is condemned in the Western world is because of Christianity and the Bible. That's it. Without the Bible and the New Testament in particular, the testimony that Christ came to set the captives free, there would be no reason to abolish slavery. Why would you? Everybody else practiced it. It was practiced by all the great empires, practiced by the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Medo-Persians, the Arabs, the Indians, all across Africa. Why would anybody abolish slavery? It's always been practiced, or it has throughout the majority of history, we'll say. So why would anybody abolish it? There would be no reason to abolish it without Christianity and the Bible. But now Christianity is seen as, since the 1960s, and thanks to the Jesuit manipulation in Vatican Council II, it is now politically incorrect. It is rude to be disrespectful to somebody else's religion by telling them that they are worshiping a pagan god and that they will die and go to hell if they don't repent. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. He's standing on Mars Hill, talking to all the pagans. And he's talking to them about the fact that they're worshiping all these idols. And he says, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands that all men everywhere repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he has ordained. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why all men everywhere need to repent of their pagan beliefs and put their faith and trust in the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Peter, the apostle, declared, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. It's very clear. Ultimately, the gospel is the only way of salvation. And that's ultimately what all of this leads toward, brethren, is undermining the testimony of the Word of God, undermining the testimony of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, who said, do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. He says, I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one jot or tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever, therefore, shall break the least command and shall teach others so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. However imperfect we may be in our walk, we certainly cannot teach others that it's okay to openly violate the clearly stated commandments of God. We need to be as those who keep the commandments of God and who keep the true testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That's our show. We will stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.